Dear colleagues, you have to excuse my voice, but we had elections in Greece yesterday, so my voice is a little bit close. Ministers, Madam Director General, distinguished colleagues, I'm speaking on behalf of the European Union and its 28 member states. The following countries align themselves with this declaration: Turkey, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, Montenegro, Iceland, Serbia, Albania, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Ukraine, the Republic of Moldova, Armenia and Georgia. We thank you, Dr. Chan, for your comprehensive report, and we welcome the focus of the debate on health and climate. The world is experiencing higher risks and severity of climate change-related phenomena, such as extreme weather events, floods or droughts, which have resulted in tens of thousands of deaths. Climate change is expected to further affect fruit productivity, air quality, water quantity and quality, and the distribution of plants and animal species, and subsequently viruses. These changes are already affecting health and are likely to continue to do so. To add further, these health effects will likely fall disproportionately on the very young, the old, the sick, and all those in vulnerable situations and less able to adapt. Climate change has the potential to worsen health inequalities within and among countries. We need to continue to find ways to mitigate and adapt to the changing environment. This is a global issue, and it requires a global response. We need to step up international action and international coordination in risk reduction, prevention, preparedness, and response to the health effects of climate change. In this spirit, WHO needs to continue to exercise its role and mandate to keep a sharp focus on the health and climate change discussion. Let me take this opportunity to share with this assembly a vision of a 21st century WHO. We see WHO as a leading force to ensure that health plays a central role in the post-2015 development agenda. The new agenda should aim at ensuring basic living standards for all, without any discrimination based on any grounds, such as sex, race, age, sexual orientation, gender identity, disability, ethnic or social origin, religion or belief, political or any other opinion. Ensuring equitable and non-discriminatory access to affordable health services for everybody in all regions, especially for those most at risk, should therefore be a key element. Working towards universal health coverage, further building on the results of the MDGs, effectively implementing the NCD's agenda, or engaging with other sectors to maximize healthy lives are key elements in our post-2015 discussions. This will definitely help us towards the realization of the right to health and to globally improved health outcomes. We need WHO's leadership to guide us towards that end. We need to ensure that WHO is equipped to address the increasingly complex health challenges facing us today. WHO needs to be flexible and ready to respond to persisting well-known health problems, as well as to emerging public health threats and to humanitarian crises. Strengthened health systems, essential population level public health services, a strong and well-trained health workforce, and effective regulatory systems for medical products are crucial elements for the health and well-being of our populations. The EU and its member states also attribute great importance to the successful implementation of the international health regulations, especially in the current context of new virus outbreaks, Ebola, MERS, for example, and the unfortunately recent resurgence of poliovirus. We are also deeply concerned about the ongoing humanitarian crisis, notably in Central African Republic, South Sudan, and the Syrian Arab Republic, as well as the devastating effects of Hurricane Haiyan in the Philippines. We recognize WHO's enhanced leadership within the humanitarian health cluster. However, to achieve this vision of an efficient, responsive, objective, transparent, and accountable organization, we need to press on with the reform. Firstly, at this stage, we all need to continue working within the agreed financial framework to ensure better alignment. And secondly, the EU and its member states would like to see greater progress on the governance reform, especially in relation to engagement with non-state actors. It is imperative that WHO is in a position to play its leading role in enabling the many different actors to contribute actively and effectively to the health of all. Being ready to collaborate closely with partners beyond the health sector and with the broadest possible range of actors while protecting WHO from any undue influence or conflicts of interest is, in our opinion, a prerequisite for the implementation of successful health policies. You can be assured that the EU and its member states have always been and remain committed to this reform. In conclusion, we look forward to a fruitful and successful assembly. We need to be resolute and stick to the WHO's core mandate to contribute to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of health as one of the fundamental rights of every human being. Using this as our leading principle will enable us to meet the present and future global health challenges. Thank you very much.